You don't know me, but you know what? I know somebody, and he knows all of us. So it doesn't matter where you came from, what you've been, where you're at. What matters is who do you serve this morning? You see, I serve a living God. And I want to tell you something. We didn't come here to just break this, to break that. We came here to brag about our God. You know what the Bible told me? I'm a kind of simple guy. Used to play football, University of Miami, won a national championship. When a guy says hit somebody, I just hit him. That's all my coach had to do. And the Bible says we overcome the devil, and he gave me this little formula. He said, by the word of our testimony and the blood of Jesus Christ. So believe it or not, that's what we do. We share about the blood of Christ. We tell people how God changed our life, and God does the rest. Amen? That's how it works. But you know what? Tonight we're going to have a grand finale. We want to invite you all back here at 6:30. The power team, we're going to go feats of strength you're not going to see. We're going to blow it up. You got to invite your friends. But I want to give you a little taste. I want the guys to share a little bit of their story of how God changed their life.
Thanks, Todd. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world. I'm so grateful that I was in that equation called the world. Because I grew up in a home where my dad was a drug addict and alcoholic. I grew up in a home where my dad was locked up and put away in prison. But one day someone told me about the goodness and the mercy of God. And it changed my life forever. And I'll tell you something. At 9 years old, I opened the door of my heart and I said yes to Jesus. And my life has never been the same.
Thanks, Bonzai. I grew up in a so-called picture-perfect home. I was raised in church, second row. But what little people didn't see is what went behind that closed doors. Before I hit the age of 13, I had three people attempt to commit suicide, and actually some of them were successful at that. But what I'm here to do today is to tell you that, man, Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you, and he will stick close to you than any other brother will. And I've learned that you don't have control over this thing called life and or relationships, ladies, going up and down. But the one thing that you do have control over is that relationship with Jesus Christ. And now I'm traveling all around the world being the only female on the power team representing the strong ladies of the Lord. Y'all give Jesus a hand clap.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are all God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's prepared in advance for you to do. When I was born at 13 pounds, 6 ounces, I do believe he had this in my mind. He knew that I was going to be breaking things. But you know what? I had the privilege of growing up in a great Christian home. My father's been a pastor since I was born. My mom's been a minister of music. So ministry was definitely my calling and what God had anointed me to do. But for so long in my life, I thought I was going to spend my life playing football because sports was a big deal. I grew up in Alabama, and that's what sports is. That's their God. And I'll just tell you this, but I moved to Texas 7 years ago, and this year right here marks my 13th year of ministry with the Power Team. And I just got one thing to say. I serve an awesome God. You guys give Jesus a hand clap in here today. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to get things started. You're going to see Saber, our one and only female on the Power Team. She's going to take the same steel that the men bend in the World's Strongest Man competition. So come on, you guys, help her out, make some noise. Let's go. Come on, ladies. Come on, Saber, you can do it. Come on, you guys, help her out, make some noise. Let's go. You can do it, Saber. Come on, Saber. Come on, Saber. Let me hear the ladies make some noise in here this morning. Come on. Pull, Saber, pull. Yes, way! You guys give it up for Saber. Well, now without a rest, you're going to see Power Team President Todd Key rip a phone book in half. Come on, somebody help him out this morning! Woo! No way! Here we go!
All right, guys, now 7 minutes to play. You got Bonzai with the frying pan. So come on, guys, help him out. Make some noise. Come on, Bonzai. Wow, the strength in your hands you have in order to do this is amazing. Come on, Bonzai, don't quit, don't stop. Come on, guys, help them out, I can't hear y'all. Woo, he did it!
Come on, he's trying to bend a horseshoe all the way around into a heart. Help, help! Oh, man, look at the power of his hands. You get a chance after the program, shake his hand, hug his neck. Come on, everybody, help out Bonzai! He did it! Uh-oh, they said it couldn't be done. 400 pounds to break a bat. Let me hear everybody say, Timber!
on, you guys gotta help him up! Come on, put your hands together! Go, 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 go! Uh-oh, he needs you. He needs your help. Come on, do it for Jesus. Come on, help him. Help him. Chop, 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 chop. Come on, help him. Woo! Timber!
Right now, Timber's going to get ready. He's going to try to press a log that weighs close to 300 pounds. Now, make sure one thing. When you pick it up, whoa, oh. Now, watch out. Bonsai. Oh, it's not for you, Bonsai. Come on back here. Don't worry, man. Hey, Minister Charlie, we got the big man doing it. You know why? Because the piano's right behind it. How many know it could be a bad Sunday? Hey, let's slide it this way a little bit. Oh, Taylor, don't touch the piano. I touched the piano. I won't tell you that time we were in that church and he lost his balance. Oh, I don't even talk about that. Hey, for the Christian, it's been forgiven. Amen. It's been forgiven. Maybe not forgotten by man. Hey, you know what, Timber? I'm trying to give him a little training. He needs time. He's tired, okay? This is really difficult, but I want you to know something. Why do what we do? You're saying, this is not my thing. Listen, it may not be your thing. I've had little grandmas walk to me and say, this is not my thing. I wasn't into y'all. That's okay. But you know what you got to be into? You got to be into the Word of God and the gospel being shared. You know what you got to be into? You got to be into people's lives being changed. Let me tell you what this log is. This log represents the weight of sin on your back. And I'm going to tell you something. Matt might not make it. Big Timber, he may not be able to get it up. But I promise you today, Jesus Christ can lift the sin off your back today. And he's going to give you the strength to do it this morning. Come on, everybody. Let's get behind Big Timber. Come on, Timber.
Come on, you guys got to help him out. A 300-pound log. Oh, yeah. Come on. Chop, 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 chop. Come on, folks. Get behind him. Come on, believers. Come on. He needs your help. Come on. Everything you got. Everything. Oh. Uh-oh. Here it is. Drive it up. Help him. No way, ladies and gentlemen. Timber. Woo. Yes way. Wow. Are you guys having a good time this morning? Everybody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, glory to God. How many know that Jesus is alive this morning? Whether you feel like it or not, he's alive. Hey, coming up in just a second, we've got something that we're going to... Hey, listen to this, folks. This is a fantastic feat of strength. A lot of times we fail, but we've got a pair of police issued handcuffs. And here this morning, one of the guys on the team are going to get locked down and try to snap out of these chains. How many want to see if a guy can do that right here this morning, Sunday morning? It's going to be great. Man. And then listen to this. Tonight, you don't want to miss 6:30 tonight. We're going to be doing a lot more than what you saw this morning. This morning's just a small taste of what we're going to be doing in our nighttime program tonight. 6:30, get on the phone, invite someone here. It is going to be awesome. All right, Todd.
Listen, you got me, let me, Bonsai sweating. We're excited. I'm telling you something. Listen, you know what I read the other day? Every year in America, there's 50,000 search and rescue missions. And they were talking about the budget. You know the budget? Sometimes I watch the news too much. You know what the news will do? It'll depress you sometimes. Yeah. You know what? The world's got something to say about how the world is going to go. But you know what? God's got something to say about it too. Amen? Does anybody remember Y2K? Why are you laughing? You know you weren't laughing back then, were you? I filled my bathtub up. I was nervous. I'll be honest with you. I'm supposed to be the minister of holy ground, right? Guess what? I was scared. I filled my bathtub up. You know what I put in it? Crystal Light, kiwi, strawberry. You know, hey, don't get mad. In my house, I'm not going to just drink water. You know what I'm saying? God's called me to be the king. You know what I mean? But you know what happened the next day? I had to let the water out, left a nice ring around my tub. You know what it taught me a lesson? God's in charge.
That's right.
For the child of God, God is in charge. And I was watching the news, and they're talking about all these rescue missions, and they're trying to find ways to slash the budget, trying to evaluate what it's worth. They said every year in America, there's 50,000 search and rescue missions. And it kind of gave details of what they are. People that get snuck in the snow. You ever seen those stories? We were out in the, they're out on a trip in the wintertime, and they go up in the mountains, and they call, the snow patrol to go get them, or helicopters, you know what I mean? People freeze to death every year, but we have people we can call. That's a rescue mission. How about in the ocean? You know what I'm talking about? The Coast Guard? People jumping out of helicopters and stuff like that. You ever watch Deadliest Catch, that crazy show? People fishing for giant crabs. It's crazy. And people, you know, stuck in the mountain, or I've seen a moose in the lake. I mean, we've seen it all, right? Every year, there's 50,000 search and rescue missions. The average rescue mission takes about 11 hours, and it costs about $33,000. And they said our country spends $2 billion on search and rescue missions. And I'm watching the show, and they were arguing where they could cut the funds to save money. Because let me tell you something, helicopters are expensive. Amen? That's legit. You fire up a helicopter, it's big money. You know what I started thinking to myself? They were going out there saving people. And that was somebody's son. That was somebody's brother. Somebody's mom. Somebody's sister. And I don't know about you, but if it's my family out there, you better empty the bank account. I want it all to save my family. Amen? We got to do everything we can. I remember just a few years ago, remember those guys, that those NFL football players were on a fishing trip in Miami? I don't know if you all saw the report. Their boat capsized in the water. They went looking for them, only found one. I'm glad we live in a nation where you can pick up the phone and you can call for help. But I want to tell you, you know what the power team is doing? The power team is going on rescue missions too. Now, we're not going out deep in the water to the top of the mountain. But you know what? We're going in between the byways and the highways. And we've been going around for 40 years. And why have we lasted 40 years? Not because of our mystique, not because of our size, but because of the glory of our God. You see, if you keep your eye on the plan, God will give you what you need to fulfill his destiny in your life. And we keep doing what we do. When we first started doing it, churches were like, you can't break that in here. Don't do it. Oh, we're not going to have you. Now they call us up and say, hey, when can you come? We got a picture of you in our lobby. Let me tell you something. What men said was no good, God lifted up. And now we're one of the number one school assemblies in the country. Can you believe that a Christian group is the number one school assembly in the United States of America? Holla. What? Now, wait a minute. Let's talk. Can we talk just for a second? Can we talk? When we go to a school, do you know I can't mention the name of God? Did you know that? Because 40 years ago, one person, how many? One. One person got fired up, went in the courtrooms of America, had a hissy fit, and threw prayer out of our schools. If I mention the name of God in a public school, they will shut our ministry down. I do school assemblies sometimes. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and I've had lawyers lined up with tape recorders hoping I blow it and say the name of God. Let me tell you something, it's not easy when you're a minister of God filled with the Holy Spirit. I just want to go, God, 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 God. You know what I mean? So God has to give us a gifting, amen? And we go in there and you can't mention God because of separation of church and state. People say, why do you do the school assembly? Because we still talk about the school drunk's not a hero, he's a zero. We say, ladies, if a guy wants to be with you, don't give up your virginity in the backseat of a car. Make him get a job, an education, and put a ring on your finger and spend the rest of his life with you, amen? Come on. Hey, you know what? Every year, every day, every 24 hours, 100 kids commit suicide and take their life. And we go into those schools and say, young people, don't give up on your life. There's a better day coming. Hey, don't give up. Don't settle. Stop looking in the rearview mirror of yesterday and look forward to your future. We get razor blades in the, we get bullets in the mail. We get drugs in the mail of lives that are radically changed. You know what we're doing? We're on our own little rescue missions across this country. You know what's so weird? Hey, I can't mention it to God in the schools. People say, well, why do you bother doing it? My Bible says if somebody's hungry, don't give them anything. No, it doesn't say that. It says they're hungry, feed them. If they need a jacket, clothe them. If they need help, help them. People say, let me tell you something. If a young person's going to commit suicide and we can take it out of his hand and invite him out to the night program to hear the rest of the story, how many think to somebody's parents that was worth it? Come on. I want to tell you one thing. Now listen. I wanted to read one thing to you. I pulled this out of a pile this morning. This is special. It's always special when it's new sometimes. You know what I mean? This is some fresh manna right here. Now, I'm telling you this because in just a second, I want you to know what we're all about. I don't want to come in and go flash, boom, and leave. Pastor has allowed us to take up an offering for the power team, our missionary work, our school assemblies. I want to be honest with you. It's not easy to go to these schools. You know what? They don't have any money anymore. You know what I mean? They used to have all the money. Now there's debt. Everybody's slashing their budget. I've been 20 years in the power team. When I first started, they had all the money they wanted in the DARE programs. They had money for drugs and alcohol. It's dried up. But I don't think our kids should have to suffer for mistakes that were made in the past. So we go anyway. So this is what I want you to do. In just a second, we're going to take up an offering. I'm going to ask you to come and we're going to receive an offering, a missionary offering to help us go out and to go to these schools that don't have any money. We're going to be the number one school assembly in the country. We want to be the most popular school assembly. I want no principal to say no, but I want you to know what motivates us. And if this identifies with you, then this morning I'm going to ask you to pull out your checkbook, pull out your billfold. You're going to write your checks to Calvary Cathedral, but let me tell you something. Pastor Bob's going to raise that offering. He's going to give the entire offering that's raised in here. They're going to write us one whole check back. I want to say that's a glorious thing for a church to do. They don't want a piece of the pie. They don't want anything. You know what? They said, we just want to bless you. You ready? I want you to hear my heartbeat. This is a letter that came in just 2 weeks ago. I wanted to say thank you for making a difference in our students' lives. One in particular, on Friday, two of your guys, Todd and Jeremy, spoke to the students at our school. They were amazing. I wanted you to know the difference you made in one of our youngest students. I teach K-4, and you made a life-changing impact on one of our young girls. I have a girl in my class who was attacked and raped at the age of 4. She was had a huge barrier and was scarred and scared of all men. After your assembly on Friday, we went back to the class, and she came to me with tears streaming down her face and said, Mrs. Gardner, those men were very nice. They love us. They even tried to help us make good choices. I wish all men in the world were like the power team guys. Now, ready? Hold on. She said, since that day, she doesn't fear our male staff anymore. Since that day, she's been able to reconnect with her father and brothers. Since that day, I've been able to share our faith with her, and she's come to a knowing grace in Jesus Christ. A life that was been lost was changed. I wanted you to know that you reached somebody that me and the staff never could. Thank you for visiting our school. Come on! Woo! How many are saying that was a search and rescue mission against the devil? Come on. He lost. So this is what I want to do. I'm going to ask you if you would. If you believe in what we're doing, if you want to send us on this rescue mission, I'm going to ask you to send us out a missionary offering this morning. I want you to pull out your checkbooks right now. I want you to pull out your billfolds, and I'm going to ask you to give. What I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you a second. We're going to talk about what's going on. I want you to make your gift out to the church. Like I said, they're going to write us a check. I want you to do your very best. Some of these schools cost $500. Wouldn't it be neat if you name your family, you could sponsor a school? Hey, the materials alone are cost you about $100. For $100, you could pay for all the stuff we're going to do in a school. Let me tell you something. It's whatever you can give. It's never a loss when you give to God. Amen? It's always a gain. And I'm going to pray that whatever anointing travels with our ministry, I'm going to pray that God would share it with you as you give with us this morning. Amen? This is what I want to do. I saw you take up an offering. I want to follow the same suit. I'm going to ask you just a second. I'm going to ask you to come forward and hand this offering to one of the partying guys. I want you to stand right down here, if you would, real quickly. Got the envelopes right there? Got the envelopes? Hey, the envelopes in the back of your seats. Everybody, the envelopes in front of you. If you still want to do that, you want to give by a credit card. The church will run your credit card. Never had any security issues. If you got an envelope in front of you, pass it to your neighbor and friend and say, power team is good. Amen? But we can only go as far as people send us. Listen, evil wins when good people do nothing. But how many think this morning in the house of the Lord, we're going to send a message to the world that we're going on a rescue mission? Amen? So, sir, ma'am, I'm going to pray over this, and when I pray, I'm going to ask you to get that envelope ready, give him by cash, check, or credit card. I want you to bring it up here, put it in the bucket, and I'm going to believe God is going to bless you and put anointing on your life. How many still believe that God is in the miracle-working business? Amen? Well, check this out. Hey, when Paul took up an offering to the church of Philippi, it was for the work of missionary work of saving souls. And he said, because you've met our needs, you ready? You know it. My God will reach your needs according to his riches and glory. Hey, I'm not saying I'm a Paul, but you know what I am? I'm one of those messenger boys, and we're sharing the message of the cross. And I'm telling you this morning, as you come forward, God is going to meet your needs. Not according to what I've got, but according to what he's got. Amen? Let's pray together real quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for each person here, the families that are here. Lord, I pray if they think all we care about is their money, I pray that they would keep their money. That God, you're after their heart this morning. But Lord, we have an opportunity to go into these schools that don't have any money, that don't have the funds. Some of the toughest schools in the country. We can only go to them, Father God. We need somebody to supply the funds to be able to invade the devil's territory and go on these rescue missions. Lord, they don't cost $33,000. But Lord, it takes somebody to do something. I pray right now as they come forward this morning and sow into the missionary work of the power team, I pray that you return a blessing on their life in whatever area they have a need. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I'm going to ask you to come down right now. Okay, would you come on down and come give your offering and just place it in the bucket? Guys, just step forward. I want you to meet him right there. I want to say thank you as you're coming forward, as you're getting that ready. I want to tell you something. I'm so thankful as you're getting that and preparing that. I want to tell you real quickly that I want to, the next feat of strength, we got a pair of handcuffs, and we're going to get ready to transition and try to break out of a pair of handcuffs. It takes almost 2,000 pounds per square inch to break out of a pair of cuffs. It's one of the most incredible things. We've had 3 or 4 guys on our team have their wrists literally broken. We never know what's going to happen. I'm going to say thank you for coming on down. come on down and just shake their hand and give them a hug. We're so grateful. Another way to help fund the Power Team ministry is all you got to do is go outside these doors, and we've got Power Team shirts. Every guy on the team has a special shirt that's kind of made to represent their character. Except for me, I got a little logo shirt here. You know, it just says Power Team. It's my favorite. You got Timber's got his Timber red shirt. You got Saber's got her black shirt. Looks like a claw went through it for all the ladies. And then Bonsai over there, let me tell you something. He's got a little Bonsai action figure on it. It's one thing to buy a shirt at Walmart. Let me tell you something. They're not going to help anybody out. When you get a shirt at the Power Team, let me tell you something. You're sowing into the message and the work of the gospel. And I think that's a good thing. Amen? So we're going to get ready to go. We're going to lock out of a pair of industrial size, regular police handcuffs. We've had guys try to break out of these, have lost feeling in their hands for 3 or 4 days, up to a week. It's extremely dangerous. We're going to lock them down. Before we do that, we're going to pray. We're going to go to God, and we're going to ask God to move on all of our behalf this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, during a normal offering, they play a song or somebody sings, but if I sang a song, y'all would all hit the emergency exit out of this place, I'm telling you. All I need to break stuff. So during the offering, I need like a phone book in my hand. I could be ripping that, breaking a bat, you know what I mean? That's all I know how to do. Listen, thank you for your giving. Give the Lord a great big hand clap for this morning for your participation, joining in with us. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. Who's doing the handcuffs? Did we decide that, guys? Who's got the cuffs? Is that you, Big Timber? Or you, Bonsai? What you got? Bonsai, you got it? Here they are right here. We're going to get some chairs ready to go. But I want to share something with you before we get ready to move on. I just want to ask you to pray real quickly. And I just want to ask God to move. These just last few minutes belong to the Lord. And before we break out of the handcuffs, listen, the grand finale isn't a pair of cuffs. The grand finale is what God can do in your heart today. Now, I want to tell you something. I've been doing this for 20 years, but every time I step into a church, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the staff, the people, everybody that's worked, Minister Charlie, everybody that's been in here, Dan, his lovely wife, crew, everybody. Haven't met you yet. I'm so sorry. Sure, I'm Charlie's wife. Charlie did a good thing. Dang, Charlie. Hello. Let's keep it real, right? We're in church. Dang. I wanted to get saved when I was a kid because I saw all the Christian dudes were hooked up. Let's just ask for God to join. Right before we break out of these cuffs, Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now. Wherever their hearts are, Lord, I pray that I would just decrease right now. I'm so thankful, God, and so humbled to be able to speak on your behalf, Father God. Holy Spirit, just invade people's hearts right now that this messenger boy could be used of you. You can use a donkey to deliver a message. Surely you can use me. You gave vocal cords. Humble myself. Forgive me of my sins and all my shortcomings that they might hear me. In Jesus' name. There was a guy, it's a true story. I don't know about you, but sometimes I watch a TV show just because it's a true story. I don't know why I'm a sucker for that. They say it's true. I'm like, well, I want to see what really truly happened, okay? There's a guy back in the 30s during the Great Depression. His name was John Griffith. And he had lost his job. He lost everything he had. He lost all of his dreams. He had a dream. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to travel the world in the 1930s. Now, that's a hard thing to do back then. That's like Titanic days. That's some scary boat rides. But that was his goal and his dream. But the Depression came. He lost everything, lost his job. Hey, you think that times are tough now? We're talking 30% unemployment. It was crazy. And John Griffin lost everything. But you know what he had? He had one little boy, a son. And through his son, it started to bring his life back alive. You know why? Because he wanted his son to have everything he didn't achieve. How many parents know what I'm talking about? You may not have had it, but you want your children to get whatever you didn't achieve. And he wanted him to fulfill his dreams. And he had a job. His job was to work a drawbridge. It was old-fashioned, 1930s. He worked in a little control booth in the very top. And in the control booth was at the very top of the bridge. It had a lever in it that activated the mechanism that controlled the drawbridge. The drawbridge would raise up to let the ships go underneath it across the Mississippi River. You with me? Huge bridge would raise up and the ships. But on top of it, you ready for this? It was a twofold bridge. It had a train trestle on the top. So he had to make sure to lower it so the train could go across the top. Are you with me? But when he pulled on the lever, the gear mechanism was right beneath him in the control booth, and the stairs to get to his booth kind of went around it. You know, the giant gears? It was the old-fashioned gears, like a giant clock maybe that had been expanded, like a huge circle with teeth on it. You know what I'm talking about? And it would turn like that, into a smaller gear, you know what I mean? Into another gear. Huge mechanism. And he pulled that mechanism, and his son was his pride and joy, but one day he was hanging out in the bank having fun with his son, and all of a sudden he heard a whistle. The whistle was the sound of the Memphis Express. It was a train. It was early. And right then, as soon as he heard that whistle, his stomach dropped. Did you ever, like, leave the house and think for a second you left the oven on or something? You know what I mean?
You know that feeling you feel just for a second? Or the curl, you know, my wife will look at me and go, I think I left the curling iron. I'm like, no, it's in the sink. Don't worry, baby. I got it. You know that feeling? He felt it right away. You know why? When he heard that whistle, he was having lunch with his son. He realized he left the bridge in the upright and locked position. 300 people were going to be on a train racing to a bridge in an upright position. Now, the train track disappeared into a thick forest, so they'd never see it until they popped out of the forest. He said he turned to his son, his life, right? The reason he had to live. And he looked at his son and he said, don't move. Don't move. How many parents know what I'm talking about when it's the real don't move? You know what I mean? There's a difference. There's don't move and there's don't move. Took off running, slipped on the steps, went around, made it to the very top of the control booth, burst into his room, grabbed the control, could feel the train, woo, woo, approaching. But all of a sudden, you know what he heard? He heard the sound that only a dad could really be cued into. It was the sound of his son crying. He had a second to spare. He wiped the sweat from his brow, stepped out, looked down for his son on the bank, and he looked down and saw that his son had fallen into the control gears. He had run after him in the excitement of what's going on and tried to follow him up, and he slipped and he fell down into the gears and his leg was hurt and he said he was bleeding. And the train was roaring, 300 people oblivious, getting ready to burst through the forest onto this bridge that is in the upright and locked position. John Griffin had a decision to make. He thought in a second, he said, hey, I'll run down and I'll go open it up. I'll grab my son through there and I'll pull the lever. But you know, it's just happening in an instant, these thoughts. You know what I'm talking about? You can think fast. And he realized, he'd been doing this for like 12, 13 years. There wasn't going to be time. He could only do one or the other. What would you do, Mom? Dad, I don't know what I would do. People always love to talk about what they would do. Let me tell you something. Heroes aren't forged and planned. Heroes are born in the moment. I'm not saying I would do this. His son, his life. What did John Griffin do? He said he reached up with one hand, closed his eyes. With a heavy heart, he pulled the lever. And the gears engaging drowned out the sound of his son screaming as it chewed him up and took his life. The train burst out of the forest. The bridge had just gone down in time. And it shot across the top. And he could look through the window, through his glass window in the control tower, into the train. And he saw people in the train. What were they doing? They were reading their paper. Some were having lunch. He said he could see people laughing and having a good time. And he began to bang on the glass. Can you imagine being a dad? He was banging on the glass saying, look what I did for you. Total strangers. Just beating on it going, my son, look what I did. They couldn't hear him over the roar of the train, right? Let's be real. He sacrificed him. You see, 2,000 years ago, God initiated a divine plan that we celebrated just last Sunday. You see, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and they walked on the earth, and they walked with God. Do you know that? And he said, you can do whatever you want to do, but don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He gave them one thing not to do, but let me tell you something. Pride snuck into that day, and the devil came up. Is there a devil? Yes, there is a devil. And he's running around trying to destroy your life. And he put all of mankind on a wrong course. You know why? Because he got in the garden and he whispered in their ear and he said, no, don't listen to that. You can eat of that. You'll be like God. You'll have all the knowledge. You know what we did? As a human beings, as a race of beings, we ate. We disobeyed God. And the moment we disobeyed God, death and hell came into this world. You know, I go to churches sometimes right now and they're like, hey, Todd, you know what? I don't want you to talk about that hell stuff. I'm like, well, dude, we got to pack up and go then, because I just can't pull out the pages of the Bible I don't like. You know what I mean? Hey, I walked into a church one time, and they gave me a list. They said, no hell, no blood, no crucifixion. I said, thank you very much. No power team. Come on. Because listen to this. There is a real place called hell. The Bible talks more about that than it does about heaven. Why? He doesn't want you to go there. Listen. Jesus stepped out of eternity to pay the price for that original sin. Why is the world so jacked up, messed up, and flipped around? You know why? Because we blew it as a human being. People say, well, I wasn't there. Well, guess what? You're guilty by association. Because your great-great-grandfather, and he said, that's the way God set it up. And because God's an eternal God, you ready for this? He demands an eternal punishment. I love the songs about the love of God. Don't you love those? I love me some love. We don't like to sing about the justice, though, do we? That ain't real popular. I'm here saying God is more than just love. He's also a God of justice. And what does that mean? That means when there's a transgression, he demands a price be paid. And that price for us that have sinned is to spend eternity separated from him in a place called hell. People say, I don't know, have I ever sinned? Yeah, you've sinned. Come on. The Bible says only a fool has said he's never sinned. Have you ever looked at a woman and said, oh, she's hot? Oh, that's too late. Did you ever say, I wish I had that car, coveted, gone, you're out. Do you have to teach a two-year-old to lie? How many parents know what I'm talking about? Give him a bag of Cheetos, close the door, walk back. Cheetos gone, orange everywhere. Did you eat those? It wasn't me, mommy. They didn't even need school for that. But let me tell you something. God, watch this. God is so, so holy that the sins that we think are cute and funny are enough to damn us forever. Do I like that? No. Do I have a say-so? No. I'm not God. I get in arguments with people all the time. They say, well, I believe this and I believe that. I'm like, why don't you go write that down and start selling it at the bookstore? It isn't what you think, it's what he thinks. And who are we to determine? Hey, listen, but the good news, you ready to switch to the love? We're condemned. The Bible says you're going to spend forever in a place called hell. Forever. This life, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're on or done, I don't care how bad your life is, eternity in hell, it's worse. But check this out. God had a plan. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ stepped out of eternity. He became flesh and blood. Do you know what my passion is? My passion is to tell believers, unbelievers, who Jesus is. Somehow, in the last few hundred years, people have lost who Jesus is. I've come to tell you who he is. He wasn't just a man, okay? He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't some guy for you to feel sorry for who was accidentally killed on a cross. He was God in the flesh. The Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm always asking people, who do you say Jesus is? And they're like, oh, sweet, poor little Jesus. You got it wrong, buddy. People say, well, you watch the story on TV, like, man, if he just didn't get killed, wouldn't that have been great? No! It was his plan. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says the Word became flesh and blood and dwelt amongst us. Too many people have forgotten who Jesus is. You know why? Because I go to college campuses and they're saying, well, you know, Todd, that crucifixion, y'all make a big deal about that crucifixion, but you know, the Romans crucified hundreds of thousands of people, right? So what's the big deal? See, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal how they killed him. It's who they were killing. You're missing it. People think of Jesus only being a little baby in the manger. That wasn't his only time to exist. He's always existed in a relationship with the Father. He's God. Think about that. The fact that God stepped out of eternity and became a human being, that's enough. He had to eat and sleep and put up with you. And then he allowed his own creation to drag him, put him on a cross, beat him. Who were they beating? They were beating the King of Kings. He could have snapped his fingers and the planet would have blinked out of existence. But he loved you. So he allowed his own little thing he made to poke at him. Would you put up with that? If I made something that did, I would stomp that sucker out. One thing wrong. Shoot, I can barely take my dog. But listen to this. When they crucified him, do you think it was the nails that held him to that cross? Now watch this. Who created the molecules that make up the metal in the nails? He could look at those nails and he actually could see the fabric of the molecules of the thing that he spoke into existence, now bringing him pain. Come on, think about it. And he hung there and he was like, okay, you're going to hit me with that? I made that. You know that, don't you? Okay. And they crucified him a horrible death and he had his flesh ripped away. And he cried out to the crowd, forgive them. Because you don't know, you don't understand, you're not getting it. And he breathed his last breath and he died. They put him in a tomb and of course he didn't stay there because he was God. He rose from the dead. He's alive. People were running around shouting and screaming. He's like, I told you. I told you. Look at my hand. Look at my side. But he said, but of them that have never seen, yet you'll believe. That's a big deal. You got to know who Jesus is. Because I want to end with this. We're going to get ready, guys. I go to some place and I travel around. I hear rumors about Jesus being the blood brother of Lucifer and another religion down the street. Let me tell you something. That's the wrong Jesus. People say, you're a divider. Last time I checked, God said he would separate people, mother, father, husband, and wife. The word of God is what matters. This family is one thing. That family is everything. Hey, I heard a place, they were preaching that Jesus is a reincarnation of Michael the Archangel. Guess what? That's not what the Bible says about Christ. The Bible says many people are going to preach a different Jesus to you. Unless a man believe that he is the Son of God, God in the flesh, you're going to die in your sins. Hey, he's alive. He rose from the dead. He stands at the right hand of the Father. And he says, anybody that believes in this Jesus shall live again. That's what the Bible says. Many people are going to come and say, well, didn't I do this? And didn't I do that? And he's going to say, depart from me. Now, this is the last thing, I swear. I'm only good for one of those last things. He's knocking at your heart this morning. You know what scares me? People that go to church. People that can sing a song. But they really never understood who Jesus is and what he did. Can you imagine living the life and walking the walk only to stand before God and say, I don't know you. A few years back, we were doing an altar call at a power team meeting. You know what happened? The senior pastor came forward, 68 years old. He'd been serving God for 40 years. But he said, hey, I've just been working. I've never had a relationship. I never understood. And today's the day I know. And they said, how can you do that? It's going to ruin his church. Yeah. About 300 people left. And about 475 showed up the next day saying, that's the guy I want to get behind right there. Hey, guys, you ready to go? Let's go. Hey, we're going to try to break out of these chains. We're going to try to break them. Sometimes we make it. Sometimes we don't. You know what I got? We got a key. That's legit. They're going to lock them down. But I want to tell you something. Can we be real quickly? We're going to pray. As soon as he's done, we're going to pray. You're saying, I got lunch, I got this, I got that. Let me tell you something, we got a lot of this and that. But let me tell you something, if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, I think it's this morning is the morning you better seal the deal. Hey, I don't know where you stand. I don't know where you fit in this crowd. I don't know if you're 77 or 7. When we're done, we're going to pray. And if you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if that's the God that you want to make the Lord, if you know, if God has opened your eyes, if this finally makes sense to you this morning, you know why it makes sense? Not because I finally explained it right. It's because God chose this morning to fully reveal it to you. He chose you before the foundations of the earth, sir. Hey, don't just clap. Don't just shout. Have a seat at the table. Amen. Let's go. Here we go. Let's get behind him. Come on, Banzai. Come on, you guys. Help him out this morning. He makes some noise. Let's go. Come on, Banzai. Trying to snap the chains and break the chains. Can he do it? Let me hear you make some noise. Let's go. Come on, Banzai. Come on, Banzai, you can do it. Yes, way, you guys give it up for Banzai.
He broke the chains, he broke the chains. Hey, how many this morning need God to break some chains up in here? How many need God to break some chains? Let's just pray, let's just honor the Lord. This is the grand finale. Can we all bow our heads this morning and close our eyes and honor God in a word of prayer? Just real quickly, nothing going on the stage anymore. We're just going to let him out of the cuffs. Power team's going to pray for you. Everybody here, everybody within the sound of my voice, listen. Eternity is too long to be wrong about Jesus. If you're here this morning and something's not right in your heart and you know you don't understand it, it's time to get it right. I'm out of time. You know what we are? We're missionaries. We've just come to give this message to you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This is what I want you to do. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about dinner. Shoot, I used to sit in church and think about the next day and this going on. Let me tell you something. You're playing Russian roulette with eternity. Maybe this morning is the morning God is tapping at your heart, sir. Do you finally understand in the back, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, do you finally understand who Jesus is and what it meant for him to die on that cross? Does it finally resonate with you? That's because God has chosen this moment to give you full revelation. He's opened your heart. And if you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, if you want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven, then you can have that assurance this morning
If you put your faith in Christ, if you call out to him, if you get this right this morning, he'll change you right there, right where you're at. This is what I want you to do. No one looking around. You're saying, this is church. This is church. Yeah, we're taking care of business this morning. God sent us here to knock at your heart. If there's 1,000 steps separating you from God, all you got to do is take one. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer of asking Jesus to forgive us, to break the chains off our life, to be the Lord of our life. And if you want this prayer to count for you, sir, ma'am, then no one looking around, this between you and God, all I'm going to ask you to do is to slip your hand up all over the building as a point of prayer contact. Let me tell you something. If you can't say yes to God this morning, don't wait for tomorrow. Because you know what that is? That's the devil's word, tomorrow. You know what the Bible says? Today. It says today is the day of salvation. I'm out of time. In the back or the side, you're saying, hey, I didn't expect this morning. Well, guess what? God had a divine appointment for your heart. I'm out of time this morning. But if you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you want your sins forgiven, you want some chains broken off of your heart, then when I count to three, all I want you to do, no one looking around, sir, God's knocking at your heart right now. Ma'am, if you got to say yes to God all alone, then you should do it. I'm out of time. If you want to make him the Lord of your life, you want your sins forgiven, if this morning is the morning, you want the chains broken off your heart, then I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer. And if you want this prayer to count for you, no one looking around, this is between you and God. When I count to three, all I'm going to ask you to do when I count to three is to slip your hand up saying, I want this prayer to count for me. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer of crying out to God to be your Lord and to forgive you and to break those chains off your heart. Whatever's holding you back, God's got a great plan. You understand who he is this morning? You understand that he was God in the flesh? Let me tell you something. It's because he's knocking at the door of your heart. I'm out of time. If you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you want your sins forgiven, you want to know this morning without a shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven. And when I count to three, all I want you to do is to raise your hand up all over the building. One, two, three. Raise it up high. Raise it up high. Don't be ashamed of God. Hold it up. Hold it up on the side and the back, wherever you're at. Up, 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 up. Glory to God. Anybody else? Come on, break those chains. Praise God, you can put your hands down. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for everyone that's here, Lord. I pray that you just bless them and be with them. I thank you for strengthening them. This is what I'd like you to do. Every hand that was up, I want you to say this prayer out loud. I'm going to ask everybody, let's stay in an attitude of prayer real quickly. If your hand was up, I want to lead you in a word of prayer. What are we going to do? We're going to ask God to forgive us. We're going to ask him to come into our heart. We're going to thank him for what he did for us. We're going to say it with our mouth. We're going to confess it with our body. Here we go. If your hand was up, I want you to say this prayer after me. Say it to God. In fact, I want everyone to join in so nobody feels left out, but it's especially if you raise your hand. Everybody say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my past and make me brand new. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a great big hand clap this morning. Come on. Holla, holla. Now, wait a minute. What up? You ready? You ready? We're going to do one more thing. Bonsai. Hey, Timber. Sabercat. Where's my Sabercat? Ew, come on, Sabercat. I'm going to do one more thing. You know what? I saw your hands. Hands over here, mom, dad, in the back. Hey, way in the corner. You know what? I saw your hands. But more importantly, God saw your heart. I'm going to count to three one more time. That's my number. One, two, three. And when I count to three, if your hand was up and you meant business with God, you know what I'm going to ask you to do in the house of the Lord? I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come stand right up here with me and the power team as a public profession of your faith in Christ. Hey, can I tell you something? Some people right there, you know what they did? They went, whoa, 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 wait a minute. The hand thing was between, no, let me tell you something. You can't be ashamed of God, sir. This is your victory lap. You know what this is, ma'am? This is where the rubber hits the road. If you're ashamed of God before other men, he said he'd be ashamed of you before the Father. You know what, sir, ma'am? Hey, over here in the back, I'm not going to call you out. God's calling you out. I saw you, but I can't get anything for you. I'm going to count to three. You know what I want you to do? When I count to three, I want you to get out of your seat. You're saying, well, I don't know about this. Don't think about it. Just do it. When I count to three and your hand was up or you meant business with God, I want you to get out of your seat and come stand up here with me and the power team. All we're going to do is have Minister Charlie pronounce the blessings of God on your life. We want to pray for you. Hey, this is your victory lap. This is it. You know what? All the angels in heaven rejoice for just one. They're about to throw down up in here. Are you ready? Hey, I saw him. Timber, over here. I saw you. Let me tell you something. Don't stay in your seat. If you can't make 30 steps in here to stand for God, how are you going to make it 30 seconds out there? Let your first steps be in here where we want to clap and a cheer for you. Amen? When I count to three, if your hand was up, you meant business with God. You said yes to God. When I count to three, get out of your seat and give God all the glory. Everybody else, let's give him a great big hand of encouragement. On now, one, two, three. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Get up, get up, get up. Come on. Come on.
Just do it. Just do it. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Don't wait, don't wait, don't wait, don't wait. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. I want to hear somebody shout to God out there. Come on. Praise God, anybody else? Come on up here. Come on up here. Brother Charlie, can we want to come down and pray for him with me for me? I'll pass this to you. Dan, do you want it? Who wants it? Hey, real quickly. We're a little over real quick. Shh, hold on real quick. And this morning, let me say something. This morning's not the end. Everybody says this morning's not the end. It's only the beginning. God has a great plan for my life. Listen, I'm so excited. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask Minister Charlie. He's going to take over. Pray for him. Whatever you're going to do. Are we going to, you going anywhere? You keep him right here? He's got it covered. Let me tell you something. He's the man with a plan. Let me tell you something. This is your victory Sunday morning. Hey, you a little late for lunch? Guess what? That's okay. God had an appointment for you today. They'll understand. Amen?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You that have come forward, we want you to know you have just made the very best decision you will ever make in your entire life. You just made it right now. Come on, saints. Let's give God praise. Amen. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of every sin. Have mercy upon me and set me free from destructive habits. Jesus Christ, I confess you are my Savior and my Lord. I believe in my heart that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven. And all my sins are forgiven because I have Jesus living in my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing and answering my prayer. Now let's all lift our hands and thank God once again for the amazing saving grace of God in our lives. Okay. All right, everybody, hold steady, please, just for a moment in the congregation, hold steady. Everyone that came forward, if you came forward, here's what we want to do. We want to pray with you just a moment longer. We've got you some free booklets. They'll help you in your walk with God, and then you'll be released right back into the service. But everyone that came forward, if you would turn and go right there with that big, with Big Timber and with David Giger, an ordained minister, the man that's hot, has his Bible raised. Come on, right up this middle aisle right here, please. Right up this middle aisle. If you came forward, you'll be released in just a moment. Come right up this middle aisle. Come on, saints. Let's praise our God for what he's doing today in our midst. Okay, several things real quick before we're dismissed. Number one, remember tonight, 6:30, the power team right here. Come on now, let's pray, let's thank our God. Tonight at 6:30, be back. Number two, the power team's going to be right out in this foyer and the fellowship hall. They've got products, they've got T-shirts. They're going to be out there signing books and T-shirts and autographs. The power team will be here. Let's let the power team, let's let Todd Keenan and the power team know how much we love and appreciate them for coming and being here at Calvary Cathedral International. Amen. Come on. Well, let's all stand. Let's all stand and thank our God. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6:30. You are dismissed. Please head this direction. Check out some of the materials in the foyer in the fellowship hall. God bless.